Good afternoon. It's 52 degrees in Richland Center at 12:07. For WRCO News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Wisconsin's court system faces a case backlog and attorney shortage. State Supreme Court Chief Justice Annette Ziegler raised both issues during her State of the Judiciary address this week. Ziegler said some counties have actually increased their backlog. Felony backlog currently stands at about 12,000 cases, which is a slight increase from where the courts were this time last year. Ziegler said a pool of reserve judges is helping address the backlog, but a shortage of attorneys contributes to that problem, particularly in rural counties. A 2021 state bar report found 7 counties with no attorneys. Ziegler said access to justice is seriously compromised when members of the public who are exercising their constitutional right to be represented by counsel with an attorney cannot obtain one. The DOJ released its annual crime report. The report shows a total of 765 fentanyl-related cases in 2023, up 84 from 2022. Attorney General Josh Call is asking the state legislature to invest in crime labs to improve staffing for these cases. Call says the state crime labs are essential to protecting public safety and ensuring criminal investigations and prosecutions lead to justice. The AG says DOJ has made enhancements in technology at the crime labs, which should improve the way cases are tracked. DOJ typically releases its annual report in late summer, but it was delayed until this week as the agency dealt with an audit. A new initiative is helping connect local schools and hospitals and creating new opportunities for students. Wisconsin Hospital Association Vice President of Education, Lee Ann Larson, says the goal is to fill the healthcare workforce pipeline while also creating a pathway for stable careers. Larson says grant money will create HOSA chapters in high schools, which help provide students with opportunities to explore healthcare careers and experiences. 30 local hospitals and 23 high schools are taking part in the program. State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley has proposed creating a new grant program that provides grant funding to Wisconsin schools for the purpose of upgrading water fountains to control for lead and other contaminants. As part of Dr. Underley's 2025-27 biennial budget request, $2.5 million would be provided over the biennium via a grant program that supports schools in modernizing water fountains and ensures students have access to clean drinking water. In October, Dr. Underley announced a budget proposal investing nearly $60 million to help school districts resolve staffing challenges and retain teachers in another $42 million proposal that supports the development of readers in schools and implementing mandated early literacy initiatives. Dr. Underley also recently announced a $311 million proposal for school nutrition that provides universal meals to Wisconsin students at no cost to families. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services has launched an innovative new online tool for people working in overdose spike response, substance use prevention, harm reduction, treatment, and recovery. The Wisconsin Suspected Overdose Alerts for Rapid Response System will provide near real-time data on when and where suspected overdoses may have occurred to inform immediate actions to address drug overdoses. Using data that includes suspected overdose data from ambulance runs and emergency department visits, the system allows users to monitor local trends, set and receive alerts around community-specific thresholds, and connect to essential spike response resources. The WISSOR system is not available to the public. Publicly available anonymous data on confirmed drug overdoses and other substance use data will remain available on the DHS website. The launch of the system follows reports from across the nation that suspected overdose deaths are trending down for the first time since 2018. In addition to data tracking tools like WISSOR, the DHS response to the drug overdose epidemic includes public education on how to talk about substance use to build supportive communities, free distribution of naloxone, the opioid overdose reversal medication, and drug checking supplies like fentanyl test strips, as well as investments in harm reduction response programs, additional treatment and recovery supports like mobile clinics and programs that connect people who have experienced an overdose with people in recovery from a substance use disorder who support and guide the overdose survivor to better health and wellness. Find more information about WISSOR on the DHS website. Newly released estimates from the U.S. Census Bureau's Historical America's Family and Living Arrangements table show that about 64% of households were classified as family households in 2024. This marks a significant change from 50 years ago, when 79% of households were family households. Family households are defined as those that include at least one person related to the householder by birth, marriage, or adoption. In 2024, almost three-quarters, or 74% of family households, were married couple households. Family households that did not include a married couple were more likely to have a female householder than male householder. Among non-family households, about 52% included a female householder, while 48% had a male householder. A substantial portion of non-family households were homes with someone living alone at 81% in 2024, compared with 89% 50 years ago. The U.S. Census Bureau also reports less than half of U.S. family households include children under 18. About 39% of U.S. family households this year included a householder's children under 18. Family households by age of householder 2024 uses data from the 2024 Current Population Survey to compare characteristics of family households such as presence of children, family size, family members under 18, and home ownership by the age of the householder. The report shows that children of the householder of any age were most common in family households where the householder was 40 to 44 years old at 84%. Less than 10% of all family households included children under age 3. Just over half, or 52% of all family households, had 3 or more family members. About 57% of family households did not have any family members under age 18, while 19% had one member, 16% two members, and 9% three or more members under 18. And home ownership was more common among older householders. About 37% of householders under age 25 owned their own home, compared to nearly 90% of those age 65 or older. A new report from the BBB Institute for Marketplace Trust, the educational foundation of the International Association of Better Business Bureaus, and the Association of Military Banks of America, reveals that military consumers, which include service members, military spouses, and veterans, report higher losses to scams compared to the general population. Key findings include higher losses based on the BBB Risk Index. Military consumers reported a median loss of $196, significantly higher than the $130 reported by all consumers. Online purchase scams were the riskiest scam type for all military consumers, making up 32.3% of the scams reported, with 78.5% reporting a monetary loss. Investment cryptocurrency scams were the riskiest scam for active duty service members, with 70.8% reporting losses. Employment scams were the second riskiest scam type for military spouses and veterans. Military consumers face unique challenges, such as frequent relocations and deployments, which may make them more vulnerable to scams. Military consumers are also more susceptible to employment, home improvement, romance, and government grant scams. The highest median dollar losses were reported from scams initiated in person, by phone, and via text message. Payment methods with the highest losses included wire transfer, check, and cash. Complaints reported by military consumers included military consumers had slightly more complaints settled by a Better Business Bureau compared to all consumers. Car dealerships and home warranty plans received the most complaints, consistently ranking in the top 4 since 2019. Other impacts reported include 44% of military consumers reported losing confidence or peace of mind after being targeted by scams. And those who lost money were most likely to report experiencing financial distress, damaged credit, strained relationships, and loss of potential earnings. Attorney General Josh Call has announced a $160,000 settlement with Gunderson Lutheran Administrative Services, Incorporated. The settlement resolves a civil environmental enforcement action against the company for alleged violations of its air pollution control permit and state air pollution control regulations for the company's operation of a wood-fired boiler in La Crosse County. The state's complaint alleges 12 total violations related to a boiler that primarily burns wood waste to produce heat and steam to generate electricity for the Gunderson Lutheran Medical Campus buildings in La Crosse. Four violations allege that the company exceeded its permits limitations or failed to monitor and notify DNR about the boiler's emissions of carbon monoxide. Three violations allege that the company failed to properly calibrate, maintain, and operate, properly calculate emissions from, or maintain records for a pollution monitoring system. One violation alleges that the company failed to perform required particulate matter emissions testing. Two violations allege that the company failed to submit regular monitoring reports, and two violations allege that the company failed to maintain records about tune-ups and inspections related to the wood-fired boiler. The proposed agreement requires the company to pay a total of $160,000 in forfeiture, surcharges, and court costs. Today is America Recycles Day. Each year on November 15th, millions of Americans come together to spread the word on how recycling helps us reduce waste, save energy, and conserve precious resources. It is sponsored by Keep America Beautiful. From plastic bottles and aluminum cans to paper and electronics, recycling helps keep tons of materials out of landfills, saves natural resources, and reduces pollution. In honor of the day, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has announced the winners of the 2024 Wisconsin Recycling Excellence Awards. Wisconsin's recycling law bans certain materials from the trash and establishes a statewide recycling program. This year, the DNR recognizes 13 organizations from going beyond what is required by law. In addition to landfill banned items, which include curbside recyclables and electronics, the winners diverted many tons of food waste, furniture, plastic film, and household hazardous waste for reuse or recycling. This year's winners include, in the projects and initiatives category, the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. The campus wanted to reduce waste material generated by students moving out of college dorms. To do so, the college partnered with the Greater La Crosse Region Habitat for Humanity. Together, they initiated a dumpster diversion program that was marketed to any student moving out, both on and off campus. The diversion program aimed to collect furniture in strategically placed pod containers on campus. Any collected material would be either donated to local charities or resold at the local restore. At the end of the 2023-24 school year, the program was able to divert over 8 tons of household furniture from the landfill. In the overall program category, Vernon County's Solid Waste and Recycling Department operates a source-separated recycling program that accepts traditional recyclables, appliances, electronics, tires, light bulbs, mattresses, waste oils, antifreeze, oil filters, and batteries. In 2024, the county began to accept styrofoam for recycling through a partnership with La Crosse County, Seven Rivers Recycling, and Hilltopper Refuse. The material is processed through a densifying machine that removes the air and melts the material at high temperatures. The finished product is sold and turned into picture framing, window trim, crown molding, and other products. The county also recently partnered with Dummer Farm to implement an organics drop-off program for food waste, yard waste, and other compostable material. Additional initiatives include collecting untreated wood and pallets, textiles, electronics, and appliances, including uncommon items like vacuum cleaners, fans, and clocks, and working with the Vernon County Fair to promote and improve recycling. Whether at home, school, or work, we can all pitch in to recycle more and waste less. November is Diabetes Month and a time to bring attention to the challenges facing diabetics. Here's Melissa Kay with more.
Nearly 38 million Americans live with diabetes. One challenge facing diabetics is hypoglycemia.
Hypoglycemia is when your blood sugar falls really low, and this can lead to many health complications.
That's Aspyrus Pharmacy resident Rebecca Tao. She said hypoglycemia can happen for many reasons.
One reason is that your body might produce too much insulin, or if you are on insulin therapy, insulin is a hormone that your pancreas make that helps us use sugar for energy.
Symptoms can vary, but you should know what to look for, as dangerously low blood sugar levels can pose immediate health risks if left unaddressed.
Common signs and symptoms to look for are if you are feeling shaky, if you're feeling hunger, also if you have like a fast heartbeat, or if you're feeling dizziness.
Rebecca said if you're feeling these symptoms, you should check your blood sugar level if you can. Then you should follow the rule of 15. Consume 15 grams of fast-acting carbohydrates, wait 15 minutes, then check your blood sugar again and repeat if necessary. It's important to listen to your body and know how to respond to low blood sugar episodes.
A busy food pantry in the Baraboo area is being forced to find a new space. Beyond Blessed Pantry Executive Director Shannon Howley says the lease isn't being renewed despite more families asking for help, typically an average of 600, but in the last few weeks, the pantry has served more than 775 households. In 2023, the Beyond Blessed Pantry served 29,058 households for a total of 102,281 individuals. Over 2 million pounds of food was distributed, and over 13,000 volunteer hours were logged. The pantry has to relocate by January. Howley worries it will have to close during a typically busy holiday and winter season. If you don't have a building, you can't serve people. We have warehouse products and items needing coolers and freezers, but without space, we lose the ability to support our community. In the last of four supermoons of the year today, where the full moon will appear 30% brighter and look nearly 15% bigger as it moves closer than normal to Earth's orbit. You'll have to wait a while to see it look like that again until October 7th of next year. That's when we get three supermoons in a row. It'll move close and look big again on November 5th and December 4th of next year. The one tonight is also known as the Beaver Moon, because it's when beavers are most active, prepping for winter, building dams, and gathering food. Next month's full moon is called the Cold Moon. Today's winner in the Ithaca Football Boosters calendar raffle is John Johnson.